Happy Easter, Woodlands Church. How are you? Yeah. You can be seated. I love the 1:30 service because we've had all these big services, and now at the 1:30, you're at the best one because I'm going to let my hair hang down, and we're going to just really get with it. It's going to be great. No, really, this is a great celebration because today, billions of people around the world are celebrating the greatest event of all time, the event that changed everything, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Easter set aside is the day we celebrate that greatest story ever told, the true story of the one true God and how he restored us to himself through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus came alive on that very first Easter, it was God's invitation to us to step into his story. And we all love a good story, right? Even toddlers and young children, everybody loves a story. And like many of you, when our kids were little, we read them stories nearly every day. We'd get to the end of the book, and it never failed. When we got to the page that said, the end, they'd beg for us to read just one more. And we must have read hundreds or maybe even thousands of books to them. But there's one that stood out as a family favorite. It was just a short book by Ann Jonas called Round Trip. And it was about a family's day trip to the city. It's very simple, illustrated in black and white, but it was the only book my kids they didn't mind if it ended. They never complained if it ended. All the rest, they'd complain, but not this one. And I want to share a few pages with you to show you why. So here's what happened. The family leaves in the morning and the houses are still dark, and they head out on their fabulous trip, their day trip they're going to take into the city. And they drive across bridges. They go through a lot of other places, down fields and farms, and they go down highways near the coast. And I can't read you all the pages because we just don't have time right now. You're going to have to take my word for it, but they went a lot of other places. Mountains, there's rainstorms. And then finally, they arrived in the city. And at the end of the day, they're at the city, and it was great. But when we hit that last page, it should be the end, right? My kids would just smile because they were in on the secret. They knew that when the story seemed to end, it wasn't really over. We turned the book around. We flipped the book over, and look what happened. All of a sudden, it was a starry sky that was over the city. And then we started our journey home and drove under the expressway where you could see the cars going over the elevated roads. And then we'd go past those same farms, but this time we could see the telephone poles there along the fence that were, as we went past all the fields. And we finally got back home just as the moonlight was shining down on the neighborhood, on the houses. You see, on the round trip journey, we saw everything from an entirely different perspective. The pictures hadn't changed. And my kids would spend endless time flipping the book over and over, making sure that, wait, how is this happening? The picture didn't change. What we saw in them, though, was all new. And this Easter, we're asking God to give all of us a fresh picture of who he is and what he's doing. So would you join me in prayer? Holy Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for Easter. Please open our eyes to see your truths and your word. We thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, given for us on the cross. Thank you that he is alive. And we ask you now to help us see your perspective that will change us to be more like you. We ask all this in the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our lives are a lot like this story, because we journey through the hills and the valleys, the good times and the bad, and all the while, the one thing that everybody's afraid of that don't want to happen is get to the end. You don't want to get to that last page. Most people are afraid of getting to the page that says the end of their life because they're afraid that that means the book of their life will be closed forever. But here's the great news of Easter. Our God is a turnaround God. And when Jesus died on the cross, it looked like the story was over. Even the disciples thought the story was over, the end. But it wasn't. Jesus' resurrection turned the story upside down, from death to life. It was the turning point of all human history. And trusting Jesus for our personal salvation, well, that's the turning point of our individual lives. When Jesus defeated death, he ripped out the page in the book of your life that said, the end. And the wonder of Easter is that God has invited us into his eternal story. He wants us to live with him every day while we're on earth, but also when the last page of our earthly story is turned, our story will go on with him.
In fact, when you experience Easter personally, it turns your world around. And Easter is all about a personal relationship. Simon Peter told Jesus, hey, everyone else may leave you, but I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. You can count on me. I will never let you down. These guys, they may let you down, but I'm not. I'm here. I will never let you down. But when Christ was crucified, in fear, Simon Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. Three times he denied that he even knew who Jesus was. Then he deserted Jesus. And after his epic failure, Peter thought that God could never forgive him, that God was finished with him, that his sins were too great and his failure was final. But look at what happened on that Easter Sunday. In Mark 16, it tells us that the women came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, and they were talking about how in the world were they going to roll away that huge, heavy stone to get to Jesus' body, and would there be anyone there to help them? And then it says this. So when they got there, the stone had been rolled away, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So when the women came to the tomb on Easter Sunday, the angel said, Jesus isn't here. He has risen. He's alive. Now go tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter. Those are two of the most powerful words in all the Bible. And Peter. Because Jesus wanted Simon Peter to know, I still love you. I forgive you. I'm not finished with you yet. Because of Easter, your failure isn't final. Easter is all about second chances. And I want you to know today, because of Easter, your failures can become forgiveness. Your guilt can be turned into grace. God says to you today, I'm not finished with you yet. Your failures don't have the final say. I do. And I'm not finished writing your story yet. There's a turnaround coming. Jesus died on the cross and rose again so you could be cleansed and forgiven of all your sins and guilt. And he knows all of our secret sins, all of our darkest secrets. I can't hide them from him. He knows everything. And yet he loves me just the same. And he offers us the free gift of forgiveness through his blood. And all we have to do is stop hiding. Stop hiding our sins. Trying to act like we've got it all together and just admit that we need his forgiveness. Because none of us deserve God's grace. None of us can earn God's love. Because of Easter, heaven is a free gift. We can't earn or deserve it. We just have to humbly accept it. In Acts 15:11, it says, we believe they were all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. We're all saved the same way. There's only one way. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. They were all saved by his undeserved grace. So this Easter, stop trying to earn God's forgiveness. Just receive his forgiveness. Stop trying to earn God's love. Just receive it. The most profound truth I've ever learned, I learned when I was a kid through that little children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. When I feel weak and worthless, Jesus loves me. When I feel like a failure, Jesus loves me. When I fail a test, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. When I don't feel like loving him back, Jesus loves me. When I doubt that he even exists, Jesus loves me. When I'm completely unlovable, Jesus loves me. Do you really understand just a little bit of that? Do you really, we say Jesus loves me, God loves me, but have you really felt just a little bit of his undeserved, unconditional, unending love? Because when you do, it changes everything. That's what Easter is all about, the miracle of Christ's unfailing, never-ending love, the miracle of his undeserved grace. And Simon Peter became a miracle of Easter because after Christ rose from the dead and said, "And Peter, you're still included, Peter. I'm not finished with you yet." Then Peter experienced the undeserved love of Christ. He went from failure to forgiven. He went from being a coward to being a courageous hero of the faith. But he never forgot that he was a miracle of Easter. He was a miracle of God's undeserved love. He was a miracle of God's undeserved grace. And each one of us who received Christ's forgiveness, we know the real story. We know we're just miracles of Easter. I'm a miracle of his undeserved grace.
I want you to imagine that you have been invited to visit a newly discovered country. And you're all excited. You ask off work. You pack your bags for adventure. And when the day to leave draws near, you realize you'd better make sure that they take your credit card there. And it's a good thing you ask, because it turns out they don't use any form of online banking at all. And so you say, "Okay, well, no problem. I'll just bring cash." They said, "No, sorry, we don't take any dollars either. Euros? No. Pesos? No." So you ask, "Well, what kind of currency do you use?" "Jelly beans." "We use jelly beans. That's it. We just use jelly beans. That's what counts." And you say, "You're kidding me, because they have nearly no value here at all. I mean, none. They're like the Tootsie Rolls of Easter candy. Like, you see a lot of them, but you're not sure who's eating these. You don't really know." And so what do? You go get enough jelly beans to last you through their vacation week, and that's it. Just enough. But wait, what if instead of just a short visit, you found out you were relocating permanently to this new country? Would that change anything? Well, you bet it would, because with moving day approaching fast, you'd be liquidating all of your belongings to store up as many jelly beans as you could, because that's where you're headed. Now, that may sound like a really silly scenario, but what I'm about to share with you is pure truth. Heaven is a real place. And Jesus Christ walked on this very earth that we walk on as a real flesh and blood man. He was also the one true God, the creator of the universe. When Jesus physically died, he stopped breathing. His heart was silent. His body was cold and still. And then 3 long days later, that mighty heart, it began to beat again. It started to beat. His chest suddenly expanded with air as he drew a deep breath. His eyes, closed in death, flew open. Jesus Christ was alive again and forever. This is real. Jesus' resurrection is the hinge that all of human history swings on. And with it, he swung open the door of eternal life to us. Now, the fact that Jesus is alive and that our death on earth won't be the death of us, that fact should change the way we live every single day. And God is really plain in his word. He says, now this life is infinitely small, infinitely short compared to eternity. We're like a flickering candle flame or a flower that blooms one day and fades the next. He plainly tells us in his word what counts in heaven too. What is the currency? What matters in heaven? What should we be storing up? He says, it's loving and obeying him and serving others. That's it. That's the only currency that counts in his kingdom. But where we live, integrity and kindness are valued about as much as jelly beans. It's hard to imagine a place where what's valued is so wildly different than what we're used to. It's a place where gold that we value so much, the gold standard of all monetary value is gold, right? But there, gold is used like concrete for street pavement. A place where real relationships are worth so much more than the momentary attention of people that you don't know or care about. A place where God is openly honored and adored with no embarrassment and no restraint. If you're a Christ follower, this very real place is in your very real future. And that's why it's important to start storing up, as the Bible tells us, treasure in heaven. Start storing up what counts. And if you're not a Christ follower, the Bible says, and again, the Bible is always true and honest. It says plainly that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The only question is, will we do it now while we're alive on this earth, or will we wait until that turnaround day when it's too late? Now, why will we all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Because it's true. Someday, we'll all have a last day on earth. The death rate's running right around 100%, and it will be turnaround day for all of us, but there's no need to fear it. On that day, we will all see and see really clearly. And we'll all say, Jesus, you are Lord, not because we're forced to, but simply because we know it to be true. And it takes a lot of faith to take God at his word ahead of time. It takes courage to align yourself with God and his people instead of culture. It takes self-discipline to choose God's way instead of what feels good in the moment. But if you choose a life of living for yourself, and that God gives us that choice, you'll still run headlong into the one true God one day. You see, Easter tells us the truth, how to see life from God's perspective. On our turnaround day, the only thing that will matter is if we love God with all our heart and soul, and if we love the ones in front of us while we were here. That's the way to bring God's kingdom to earth.
God's perspective is an eternal perspective. He sees the whole picture. He knows the whole story. He is the story. And he has no beginning and no ending. Our story had a beginning. In the beginning, God created. And God said, "Let there be light." And in one split second explosion of light, God spoke the universe into existence. He created the heavens and the earth. God created the infinite universe filled with billions upon billions of galaxies, solar systems, planets. And in the vastness of the universe, a small solar system that God placed right where he wanted it, our little blue planet. He created humankind in his image. We were made in the image of God. We're certainly not God, but we were made in his image. That means he created us with a spirit. God created us with the capacity to have a relationship with him. And God put the first man and the first woman in the perfect place. It was a garden of meaning and fulfillment, a paradise where all their needs could be met. And God said that it's all good. Everything is just right. And God told the man and the woman, "If you trust me, I'll bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I know what's best for you because I made you." And God said, "You can eat the fruit from any tree in the garden. It's all yours except for one." God said, "If you trust me and follow me and do what I say, you'll stay on the path of blessing and life, and it will be all good. But if you disobey me and follow your own way, you'll no longer be on the blessed path. You'll step into the curse of sin and death." And Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie, that God couldn't be trusted, that God didn't want the best for them. And with one bite of the forbidden fruit, they disobeyed God. And everything in the world was turned upside down. All that had been right was now wrong. The blessing was replaced by the curse of sin. And when sin entered the world, so did fear, pride, bitterness, injustice, war, disconnection, despair, and death. And every one of us have taken a bite out of the forbidden fruit, thinking we know better than God what's best for us. We, just like Adam and Eve, have sinned. We live in a broken world, and we all carry brokenness. But the God who created us didn't stop loving us. And that's why he came to us. He came to us when we were right in the middle of our brokenness. He came to take upon himself all our sins and the curse that comes with it: shame, disconnection, and death. on that dark Friday when Christ went to the cross and he died. The world went dark. It looked like our only hope for redemption was dead. The disciples' world was turned upside down. The one that put all their hopes in was dead. Their joy turned to crushing despair. Nothing looked right. Everything seemed upside down. It looked like the ugliest Friday in the history of the world. But that wasn't God's perspective. God knew it wasn't the end of the story. The disciples hadn't experienced the round trip yet. God had the full perspective. God knew that it was only Friday, but Sunday was coming. And Easter would change everything. And after Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, the disciples were able to look back and realize it was all part of the plan. Christ shed his sinless blood so our guilt and sin could be washed away. He died to reverse the curse. Easter changes the story. Easter turns everything around. Easter turns Bad Friday into Good Friday. Easter turns despair into joy. Easter turns shame into grace. Easter turns death into life. Easter turns crucifixion into resurrection. Jesus is alive. The curse of sin and death has been reversed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You can be seated.
When I was 7 years old, my second grade class was given a vision test at school, and I failed it miserably. My mom took me to the local optometrist who confirmed that my vision was absolutely horrible. It was worse than 2400. And a couple of weeks later, we returned to his office to pick up my new Coke bottle thick wire rimmed glasses. Now this was the 70s, and so I already had a headgear, and now my look was going to be complete. I remember everything about that afternoon, even the smell of that little tiny bottle of purple cleaning fluid that the assistant just sprayed on my glasses as she wiped them off. And I was so excited, mostly because of the fashion statement that I was sure to make with my new look. But as far as my vision went, I just didn't get what all the fuss was about. And when the assistant facing me across the counter finally slid my new glasses onto my nose, my mouth literally dropped open. Maybe for the first time since I had learned to talk, I had no words for what I was experiencing. Everything in the room had just instantaneously come into sharp focus. And until that moment, my whole life I'd lived in a bubble, always focused on what was happening roughly within arm's length, and the rest of the world had been blurry and indistinct. And now, suddenly, the whole world had exploded in depth and detail. I was speechless. I shoved my chair aside, I ran out the door and jumped onto the sidewalk and just stared, and I couldn't believe it. Because the trees had millions of leaves and every single leaf was turning in the wind just so. And birds were in the sky and I'd seen them on television. I knew on the cartoons they made a V. They were really doing it in the air. It was incredible. And their roofs on the houses, they weren't just solid. They actually were made up of tiny little squares like quilts. I mean, the whole way home, I hung my head out the window of our wood-sided station wagon, absolutely awestruck at this incredible world that I had just discovered. And after my grand transformation, where I was constantly doing a play-by-play, telling everybody around me, look at that, look at this. And my parents, my teachers, they were saying, why didn't you ever tell us that you couldn't see? Well, because that had never occurred to me. The thought had never occurred to me, not once, that what I saw was any different than what anybody else saw. I assumed everybody was like me. And there's a saying, if you know, you know. And I want you to know the opposite is also true. If you don't know, you don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know there was more to see. How could I? But the fact that I couldn't see things clearly didn't change reality one bit. Reality was the same whether I could perceive it or not. And if you don't know Christ personally, then maybe everything we've said today sounds kind of blurry and indistinct. And I get it. I've been there too. A lot of us didn't grow up hearing or knowing about God. But as someone who can finally see, I want to tell you there's more. There's so much more. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. The Holy Spirit is real. The fact that what we can't see is far more real than what we can see. That's why clear vision, seeing things clearly with a clear perspective, is the key to hope. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We live our lives so focused on the stuff we can see, when the stuff we can't is what counts. And our narrow view of love and life explodes with meaning when we finally see things through God's eyes from His perspective. His perspective is real. God's reality is the only one that counts. It doesn't matter what I think about reality. It doesn't matter if I can see it. God created the world. He created it all. What He says is true. Our last sight on earth will intersect with our first sight of heaven. And that turnaround moment is the moment that I am waiting for. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes turnaround day. He said, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Did you catch that? We were created to be fully known, and God fully knows you. God knows you. He understands you. You don't have to explain to Him your feelings, your thoughts. He already knows. He created you. But all of us desire so badly to be fully known. If you don't know that God is the one who fully knows you, then you spend your life trying so hard to be completely understood and accepted and loved by people. Being fully known is what we are made for. It's why we're willing to risk pain and humiliation and rejection, even when the odds are against us. It's why we forgive when we have been wounded time and time and time and time again. It's why we keep on giving even when we know we're not going to get anything in return. And so if you find yourself today on Easter hurting, feeling lonely, feeling like no one understands you, no one really gets you, no one knows you, I want you to know that God does. And turnaround day is coming. And when we catch our first glimpse of heaven, there will be no words. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him.
In The Lord of the Rings, after helping Frodo on that exhausting quest to destroy the ring, Sam Gamgee collapses, and when he wakes up, the first thing he sees is the wizard Gandalf, who he thought was dead. And at that moment, he asks a question, which I think is one of the best lines J.R.R. Tolkien ever wrote. He asks, is everything sad going to come untrue? Is everything sad going to come untrue? Folks, we live in a broken, sin-sick world filled with injustice, pain, loss, death. But one day, everything sad will come untrue. The ultimate round trip where everything will make sense is heaven, the perfect place of fulfillment. And look what Revelation 21:4 says about it. He, Jesus, will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that has gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Jesus says, because of Easter, you can trust me on this one. Heaven is real, and heaven is the place where all the messed up, painful, broken, and wrong things we experience on this earth will be made right. All that is wrong, and there is a lot wrong in our world, one day will be made all right. One day, turnaround day, this upside down world will be turned right side up. And heaven's a place of no more, it says, where God puts his foot down and says, no more of this. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Jesus says, don't get discouraged if you're a believer. If you're one of my followers, don't give up. It's never too late for me to come through for you here on this earth. I rose from the dead, so anything is possible in your life. And some of you are facing what you feel like is an impossible situation. And I want you to know it is without God, but you're not without God. If you're a Christ follower, he's with you, he's in you through his Holy Spirit, and the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you right now. And I know it may feel like an impossible situation. It may feel like you're up against a brick wall and you've been there for so long, you think you'll never get through, but breakthrough is on the way. Breakthrough is on the way. Jesus broke through the tomb and rose again, and he specializes in resurrection. And some of you feel like in a relationship, you're at a dead end. I want you to know, he specializes in resurrections. He can resurrect dying hopes, dying dreams. He can resurrect dying relationships. He can resurrect a heart that feels dead and broken because it's wounded so deeply. If you're a Christ follower, it's never too late for God to come through, and he will get you through it. There's some things in this life you'll never get over until you get to heaven one day. Some hurts are so deep, you won't get over them this side of heaven, but you will get through it with God's power and God's strength. And I'm telling you, don't give up. The blessing is just around the bend. That's what Easter is all about, because he rose from the dead. Anything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And then he says, one day, because I rose from the dead, I will raise you up forever in heaven. Yeah. You can be seated. I love the verse, 1 Timothy 2, 5, because I'm a visual learner and I can really visualize this verse. It says that God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. I can just see that. It says God's on one side, all the people who have ever lived are on the other side, and in between them is a great chasm. And that chasm is our sin. You see, God's perfect, and yet we've all sinned. And we all want to get to God, to have a relationship with a God who made us. And yet our sins separate us from perfect, holy God. Here's a slide that'll help you see it. We're on one side, God's on the other side, but our sins are a great chasm that keep us from experiencing that relationship with God. God loves us completely, but he cannot tolerate sin. And so it was a real dilemma for us. And we want to get to the other side, but it's like the Grand Canyon. That chasm is bigger than the Grand Canyon. Our sins created that great chasm that's bigger than the Grand Canyon, but we want to get to God. And really, a great illustration of religion is trying to jump across the Grand Canyon to get to God. Because religion is trying to be good enough to earn God's love, or if I do enough good things, or I'm better than most people, then maybe God will accept me and let me into perfect heaven. And so we try to be good, and it's kind of like trying to jump across the Grand Canyon. And if I ran as fast as I could, and I jumped as far as I could jump, trying to get across the Grand Canyon, I'd go about 5 feet, and then boom, straight to the ground. But maybe you're a lot better at long jumping than I am, and maybe you could run and jump, and maybe you would go 10 feet. Maybe you go 20 feet. You go 4 times further than I went, and you're going, ha, you're making fun of me. I mean, you're trash talking and making fun of me as you're flying over, going, look at this, you know. I've beaten you 4 times. I've jumped further than you. And it's all good. So far, so good. But you're falling down, and you just come right down, and you're dead, just like me. I mean, you can jump 10 feet, 20 feet, 100 feet, but you can't jump across the Grand Canyon. And you can be really good and do a lot of good things and be better than most people, but God's perfection, you can't get close. And heaven's a perfect place for perfect people. But God loved us so much that and wanted us to be with him in heaven forever that he created a bridge. And the bridge, look at this. It's Jesus, the cross. When Jesus came and he died on that cross and shed his perfect sinless blood, He washes away all my sin. He took my place on the cross. He died for our sin. I don't understand it completely, but I know this, what he did 2,000 years ago on that Good Friday on the cross gives me a clear conscience today, forgives me of all my sins, gives me a ticket to heaven one day. It's an amazing thing. And all I had to do, and all you got to do is take one step onto the cross, one little step of faith onto the cross. See, he's done it all for us. It's not about what we do. It's been one giant leap for God, but it's one small step for humankind. We take the one small step of faith. God's taken the huge leap of coming to this earth and dying on the cross for us and taking all the sins of the world. But we have to receive him, and the way you do that is by taking a step onto the cross. You take one little step of faith and you receive his free gift of forgiveness. You humble yourself. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter how good you are, how religious you are. All that matters is, have you accepted God's free grace? Are you a miracle of Easter, of his undeserved grace? So have you ever done that at a point in time in your life? Have you ever taken a step onto the cross and trusted him for your salvation? If you haven't done that, you need to do that, because he doesn't force himself into your life. You have to choose to receive his free gift of forgiveness and salvation. He wants you to be with him in heaven forever, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's through his undeserved grace. He died so you could have that, and you could be in his forever family. And when you die and you go to heaven, and he says, why should I let you into my perfect heaven? You say, I don't deserve it. I've sinned like everyone else, but I took a step onto the cross, a little step of faith, and everything changed, and I accepted your son's free gift. He died for me. I want you to take out this card, this little Connect card you've already filled out. If you haven't filled it out, do it now. But there's a little box there. And in that box, if you'd say, Carrie, I'm not sure that I've ever taken a step of faith and received Christ and stepped onto the cross and trusted him for my eternal destiny and given him my life. I'm not sure that I've ever done that, but I want to get it settled. Maybe I have. I'm not sure. I want to get it settled. You know, the Bible says these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. I talk to people at times and I say, do you know for sure if you die tonight, you go to heaven? And they say, I think so, but I'm not sure. I mean, can you really know? I mean, you know, I've tried to live a good life. I think so. But here's the thing. The Bible says you can know. And it's not because of what you've done. It's because of what Christ has done for you. And it's the decision you make of trusting him, taking a step of faith onto the cross, knowing he's going to hold you up. A little step of faith. You can leave this place on Easter Sunday, 2024, knowing that you'll be in heaven one day. Isn't that amazing? Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done for you, and you've accepted it. And so if you want to get it settled right now, and this is your day, then just draw a cross in that box to say, I really want to get it settled. I want to take a step of faith onto the cross and receive his salvation and the free gift of heaven one day. Just put a cross right there. And what's really neat at the end of our service, as you go out, I want you to take that card that has the cross on it and give it to one of our team members out there, because there are two places that we have chalk drawings. We commissioned a chalk artist to do this custom-made chalk drawing to illustrate what I'm talking about. And so here's a picture. It's my son-in-law, Jordan, out there, and I almost pushed him into the chasm. That was my chance right there. No, he's great. He's my favorite son-in-law. He's my only son-in-law, so he's my favorite son-in-law. And Jordan's great. He preached the sunrise service today. But isn't that amazing? I think that's so cool, because what we want to do, you give this to one of our team members out there. They're going to give you a New Believer's Bible to help you grow in your faith. And then they're going to take your picture on the cross so you can remember this was the day you got it settled, that you took a step onto the cross and God came to meet you and held you in his arms and said, you're my child and you're home. You see, Carrie, you may ask, Carrie, aren't we all God's children? No, God created every one of us. He loves every one of us. But we have to let him adopt us into his forever family. We have to choose to be part of his family, to be a child of God. And so choose that right now. The real question is, do you know Jesus? Not do you know all about him. You may know everything about Jesus. You may come to church every week, but do you know him? He knows you. He made you. He loves you. He knows what's best for you, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to stop just going through the motions of life and really experience fulfillment. Let me ask you, is that your heart today, to really experience Christ's peace, to really know Christ's peace over anxiety, to really experience his forgiveness over guilt, to really know you'll be in heaven one day? Do you want to know him? I know for so many of you, that's your heart cry. I really do want to know him. I really am tired of trying to control everything, be the general manager of my universe. I'm ready to give up to God. I need him. Do you want to know him? Just listen to the words of this song that Stephen and Josh wrote that really, really expresses what so many of us feel. And maybe you feel it right now. Do you want to know him? Do you want to know him? Are you ready to take that step? Do you really want to know him? Do you want to know him? He knows you. Do you want to know him? I know so many of you feel that's where I'm at right now. You know, I'm tired of doing this by myself. I need him. I want to know. I want to know for sure I'll be in heaven one day. I want to know him. This is your day because he wants to know you. He planned you to be here before he created the world. I love that line that he's pulling at our hearts. And that's what he's doing right now. He's really speaking to your heart. I know so many of you speak into your hearts and open the door of your heart, let me in. Speak into your heart. Now, he's not speaking in an audible voice because he knows that would freak you out, but he's speaking to your heart. See, I don't know why you're here today. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe you always come to church on Easter. Maybe you came to the 11:30 and you couldn't get in, so you waited to the 1:30. I don't know why you're here, but I do know why you're here. I don't know why you think you're here, but I know why you're here. Because God planned that you would be here before he created the world. He planned you would be here on this day, Easter 2024. Whether you're at home worshiping online, or you're at our Atascocita campus, or you're here in the Woodlands, I'm telling you, he planned it before you were born because he wants you to know him. And he planned that he would be right here, right with you, because he wants you to know him. And this is your turnaround day. When it all comes clear, when everything changes and it goes from emptiness to fulfillment, this is your turnaround day. This is your resurrection day. Do you want to know him? He's here. He wants you to know him. He doesn't want to hide himself from you. He wants you to know him. And if you feel that in your heart, maybe you're already a believer, but you want to know him more. You want to have a fresh resurrection today, a renewal of your faith, or maybe you've never received him. Do you want to know him? Just sing this. Sing this as a declaration to the Lord Jesus right now. It's time to give up and to surrender to him. He's ready. What are you holding on to? He's ready to hold it and hold you. Is that your prayer? Take it over, Lord. Let's bow our heads. And I know that you don't understand it all. You've got questions, but all it really takes is a little step of faith. He'll meet you right where you are. He'll come across the bridge and hold you in his arms and say, "You are now my child. Welcome home. I'm so glad you're part of the family. This is your time." I want everyone who put a cross in that little box to pray this prayer. Repeat it after me out loud. Just pray it out loud. In fact, I want everyone in this room to pray it out loud. Everyone at Atascocita, everyone online, if you're already a believer, pray it so those who are praying it the first time will feel more comfortable, but also so you'll remember that you're just a trophy of grace. You're just a miracle of Easter. Pray this prayer out loud, every one of us, and just mean it in your heart. Dear Jesus Christ, I need you. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I accept your free gift of heaven. I accept your free gift of salvation. I ask you to be my Lord. Help me grow in my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you look at me if you prayed that prayer, it came into your life, and he will never, never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you take that one little step, and it changes everything. You may not feel different. It doesn't matter. It's faith, a little step of faith. He's in your life, and he will begin to change your life. He's got great blessings and miracles ahead, and we want to help you grow in your faith. So please take this card out there with the cross on it and take it out there, give it to one of our team members. They are going to give you a New Believers Bible to help you grow. We have a New Believers class starting and all kinds of connections starting. And then you can take your picture on the cross. Just remember, this was the day you took a step of faith. And if you'd say, I want to renew my faith, I want to get closer to God, then just put R there and take it out to the table, and we'll give you a free copy of our new book, The Gift of One Day. And then be back next weekend growing in your faith. God's got great plans. He wants you to be close to him. Spring's all about growth, and we want you to get something on Sunday that changes your life on Monday. We want to, when we look at God's word, it's got principles for overcoming anxiety and fear. It's got principles for how to make good decisions, how to build great relationships. All these things that we talk about from God's word, and they're life-changing. But then if you would say, I'm not sure I even believe Jesus rose from the dead. I've got a lot of questions. It's great. We love questions. Sometimes you got to ask all the questions and do the search before you can have a really strong faith. But if you would say, I'm considering Christ, but I've got a lot of questions, just put C in that box. And if you'll take that out to the table, then we'll give you a free copy of our very own Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, which was all about his journey from atheism to asking all his questions and coming to faith. We want to help you in your spiritual journey in any way. Well, now we're at the part of our service where we give back to God, and we at Woodland Church love to give because for God so loved the world that he gave. Easter's all about giving. We're givers, not takers, and so we have a chance to give during our offering. And Jesus said, given it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be measured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He was saying, however much you give, that's what you get back, but even more, because you can't outgive me. And so we know at Woodland Church, his promises are true. So many of you have discovered that. You can't outgive God. He blesses you to be a blessing. That's why he blesses us, to be a blessing. And so we give because we love God and want to be more like him. We give because we love the blessings and we believe his promises. We also give because we love the ministries and missions of Woodlands Church. And the way you give, just go to wc.org/give. If you're worshiping online, you do it right now, but wc.org/give. You can also give by texting the word give WC, one word, to 97000. Another way, there are many ways to give, but give because you love him. And then our ushers are going to come at this time, and they're going to take our offering, and we can give. It's our chance to give, so we can do that right now. And I got a few announcements. By the way, one of our ministries is to Haiti. We've been doing this for years. We have farmers field schools there and people on the ground that are making such a difference. We've transformed a whole community with our food programs and clinics, and but now everything's in chaos in Haiti, but I mean, I'm telling you, this community has been changed forever, and God's working in their lives, but we sent them a lot of resources this week to buy more food and help other people out and to make it through all this time, but pray for them. And then also, next weekend, we're starting our new series, and it's spring. It's going to be exciting. Our regular service times are 6 p.m. Saturday, 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. At both of our campuses. Then we got the downtown campus getting ready to open. God's up to great things. He's doing amazing things at Woodlands Church. God works miracles. And if you need prayer, we've got teams out there to pray for you. I don't know what you're going through, but God cares and we care. I want us to stand, Woodlands Church. He's alive. He's not on the cross anymore. He's alive. The tomb is empty so our lives can be filled, and Easter changes everything. Without Easter, there's no hope. Without Easter, there's no meaning. But Easter actually happened, and Jesus actually rose from the dead, and it changes everything. And now we have meaning and purpose and fulfillment, and we have Jesus and his grace. Do you believe that, Woodlands Church? Let's sing and let's thank him. Happy Easter.
Hey, church. Thanks for listening to the Woodlands Church with Carrie Shook podcast. By listening, we hope that you're encouraged wherever you are. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast so that you can get the latest messages each week. For more information on Woodlands Church, check out the description for a link to our website and how to connect with us. We hope you have a great week.